Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening to our Facebook Live people, if they're watching. We're going to continue in our series here on culture wars, maintaining a biblical worldview on culture hot-button issues. And this is our, I think our third Wednesday night. Is that what we're on? Something like that, since we started back up. So I'm going to continue along that line. Let's pray this evening. Almost said this morning. This evening, and we'll get right into this here. Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we are faith people. Lord, that means that we live by and are led by our faith, and our faith comes from your word. We're not, we don't determine your will by what we see or feel. We determine it by what you say. And we believe as faith people that your word and your authority that you've given us in Jesus' name can alter what we see in front of us and change it from a distorted point of view, from a distorted understanding, from a distorted situation to one that's in order, one that's not out of order. And we trust your word, and we trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask you to help me tonight, Lord, to speak redemptively, to speak in such a way that it's your words and not mine. I yield myself to you. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would open eyes, that there would be ears that hear, eyes that see, and hearts that understand. And as we hear and understand, Lord, we will be doers of your word and not hearers only. We will do what you say in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll continue in our series here. Last week we talked about evolution versus creation worldview. And I might just hit that briefly, at least one portion of it, and then we'll move on to our others. The scripture in 1 Timothy 4:1 says this, "But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. These are the days we are living in right now." In this series, we are going to touch on a few of the hot-button issues of the culture, and that's what we're continuing in. But how many have noticed that the faith can be turned away from? It can be. Do you know, I'm not Baptist, in case you didn't know, but which you probably did. I love the Baptist, but I'm not Baptist. And in some Baptists, there are a few brands of them, like any denomination. But in some Baptist teaching, there's a once saved, always saved. And I don't believe that. Now, I will say this. I do believe it's very, very hard to, quote unquote, lose your salvation. Okay? This is not a flippant thing, you know. Sometimes people have gotten emotionally upset and they've yelled at God or, you know, cussed or something like that, and they think they've lost their salvation. Well, probably not. I mean, there has to be a very distinct decision to reject Christ, not just I'm emotionally upset and I said something stupid. How many have ever said something stupid before? I'll raise both hands. Okay. Out of emotion or out of whatever, you know, you can. You have that ability because you're human. You have the world around you pressing on you, all those things. And the stronger we are in the spirit, the less we do that. Okay, the more developed we are spiritually, the less we'll respond out of our flesh and emotion. We'll respond out of the fruit of the Spirit within us, which is spiritual maturity. Rick Warren put it this way: our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. You don't have to. It is a lot of what is being, And we're going to get into this in more detail, but what a lot of what people have accepted as the norm, that, you know, God is antiquated, the Bible is antiquated, there's no purpose for it, any of those things. We now have science. But the problem is, even science proves that we have science people wrong. Now, what you're going to run into when you get into discussions of what we're talking about, including evolution, is basically, when it comes to the atheist or the evolutionary worldview or the I hate God or I don't want anything to do with God worldview, is that it's usually driven out of emotion and feeling and actually very little true thought. And this is the thing about pride. Pride will assume it knows without studying or looking or being open. And I'm going to make a statement here that I know will help you. If you reject the truth, there's only one thing left to accept. And that's a lie. Now I'll say this. In the spirit, there's no middle ground. Okay? So there's not like some sort of, well, you know, maybe it's kind of, even half-truths are lies. Make sense? Okay, so we have to look at these things, we have to understand them, but we also have to come at these things, and I wrote this really large at the top of this, we have to minister to people redemptively. So Jesus spoke the truth in love, okay? That doesn't mean he didn't come strong at times. It just means his motivation is your salvation, not your death. So if all God's motivation was, if God's motivation was death, all he would have to do is nothing. Right? That's right. I mean, we've been killing ourselves since the beginning, right? I mean, Adam and Eve are like, sure, let's eat of that fruit he told us not to. You know, let's partake of that tree. Death is in that tree. Yeah, let's do that. And ever since then, it's been happening. People are still eating of that tree. Did you know that? All right. It hasn't gone away. They're still eating. All right. So we have to minister redemptively, and I want to do that. So last week we looked at the evolution worldview versus the creationist worldview. We looked at three areas that are ultimate proof of creation in the Bible, ultimate proof of creation and the Bible, and they were morality, laws of logic, and uniformity of nature. And if you want to listen to that message, it's available online. I will post the video. I know it's available, but I haven't posted it yet. You could go to our YouTube channel, or you could go to Facebook and find it there if you want to watch it. But I want to begin this week by touching on a portion of the evolution theory, or I guess it's not the evolution part. As far as the worship of the creation, I want to talk about the other side of it, where just because we're Christian and we have a view that we are above the creation, because we are, and we are more valuable than the creation, and we are, and we are more valuable than animals, and we are, and I could prove it to you over and over again. Jesus said it, I don't know how many times, if he feeds the birds of the air, which you're more valuable than they are, okay? So this idea of, and we'll get into this in Romans 1, where if you reject God, it always ends in the destroying of humanity. If you worship God, it always ends in the redemption of humanity. Because when you worship the Creator, you understand the order of the creation. When you reject the Creator, you have to come up with your own order. And as being the children of Adam and Eve, who marred the creation and the image of it from the beginning, the natural course, even for those that are saved but aren't taught right, but especially for the world, will be to reject the Creator and worship the creation. And anytime you come up with something on your own outside of God's boundaries and the revelation of who He is to you or about what He's created in you, you will begin to walk down a path that is actually not what God designed for you. And that's where, you know, deception comes in and all those things. And I posted today on Facebook, I don't know if some of you saw it, but I put, deception is deadly enough without adding rebellion. And if you read Romans 1:18 through 32, that's where I got the statement. Deception is deadly enough without adding in willful rebellion. So if you combine those two, you're on a fast track to destroying everything around you. Deception by itself is destroying things. But when you add in willful rebellion, like you see God and then go, no, there's no God, you're really in trouble. You're really in trouble. And that's where a lot of our culture is. And a lot of them are not just in willful rebellion. I think most of them are in deception, to be honest with you. So Romans 1 verse 18, we're going to go there. It says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." This is a great passage of scripture that we're going to look at here. And this is our foundation when we looked at it last week. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Paul begins his argument in Romans here by explaining that the divine indictment on the human race is a result of humanity's rejection of God's revelation to them. He says this, "Indeed, the destiny of each individual pivots on the acceptance or rejection of divine revelation. The nature of God's revelation and the consequences of rejecting it are described from here on out." Now, that's a commentary from the Life in the Spirit commentary. And what he says here is Paul begins, and this is where he's starting with this main thought here, that there's a divine indictment on the human race, and it's the result of humanity's rejection of God's revelation to them. And this is true. The destiny of every individual depends on whether they yield to the revelation or not. Now, I'm not just talking about your eternal destiny. That, of course, is a part of it, and of course, it's a major part of it. But the way that you walk out your faith here and the manifestation that you receive here is also affected by whether how you see you in light of what God said about you, which requires two things. It requires you to have an open heart to be able to listen, and then a submissive one to be able to do. How many have noticed that there's a reason why Paul wrote, "Forgetting the things which are behind, I press on toward the mark"? Okay, so there's a reason why that he wrote that. And right here we see this. God consciousness, think about this, is the point where each person realizes there is a God. This does not bring salvation, but does open the door for the gospel to be presented. When a person reaches God consciousness, God has an obligation to send someone to give the gospel, no matter what, no matter where the person lives or the environment or the culture he or she lives in. In other words, in every one of our lives, there was a point where we went, God, there's a God. Everybody is confronted with this reality. Everybody is. Verse 19. "Because what may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Verse 20. "For since the creation of the world," how long? Since the creation of the world. What has been since the creation of the world? His invisible attributes are what? Does that seem like a contradictory statement to you? His what attributes? Are clearly... Oh, yeah. Come on. Uniformity of nature. Do you see that? Uniformity of nature. His invisible attributes are what? Clearly seeing, watch this, being understood by the things that are made. You can understand God by the things that are made. I'm talking about a tree. What is Proverbs? My father-in-law used to do this to me, Terry. He used to do, I don't have another father-in-law. He's the only one. My father-in-law used to do this to me. We'd be driving or whatever, and the Spirit of God had hit him. We'd be working construction. And he'll do it random to you, you know, because it's just how God flows through him and how he thinks. But there was a season where I was working with him, and he'd be talking about horses or something in nature. And he'd say, "Don't you see God in that horse?" Now, some people go, "He's worshiping the horse." No, no, no. You can see God in the horse. Why? Because the invisible attributes of the maker are in what's made. Does that make sense? Okay. So, and if you begin to look, I mean, so it would kick my mind in gear whether I said anything at the moment or not. But it would, and I would think about it later, and I'd think, yeah. And then I get to, because I like art. I like drawing and stuff. I like especially animals, different things. Animals are, especially a horse too. Man, you can just, horses, have you ever looked up horses? Just some of the ones that are and the different sizes and shapes and breeds. And I mean, they're phenomenal creatures. They just really are. And you look at them and you think about it and you go, there's got to be a God. That was not a random chance of chemical reactions over billions of years. It's too organized. It's too, hey, God's here. So, you can see and understand God by the things that are made. And what is that? That is God. That is everybody being or having the ability to have a God-conscious moment. But that's not a salvation moment. See, it's one thing to see the attributes and go, God is there. This is what he does. This is amazing. It's another thing then to go, and that's the invitation. Like ants. If you study an ant and ants, you can see God. You can see the Creator, how they operate, how they function, how they work together, how they gather in the summer so they can hibernate or go underground and not be killed in the winter and eat. Ants are opportunists. Just go camping. Have a picnic. Leave some food out. They're opportunists. They'll find it and they'll go. And in that, what do you see? It's almost like you see the parable of the talents. You gather where you did not sow. The ants are going, check out the size of this muffin. But the creation says, here's God. Now, you can know him there, but then you can know him as Father. Now, that's the one, I mean, the other is intriguing. It's one thing to look at a horse. It's another thing to stand with God and have him explain the horse to you. Right? That's a whole nother level of understanding that comes, and that's salvation, which is God's design for every person that he's made. It says this, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So is anybody going to have an excuse? No. Nobody will. Nobody will have an excuse. None. The commentary here for this particular passage says this, because God has revealed himself through his creation, men and women are morally responsible for what may be known about him. This is what theologians call natural revelation. Natural revelation. That is the revelation of God through the physical world. What is revealed is the eternal power and divine nature of the Creator. This truth, that is, the reality that there is a Creator to whom creation must respond, is suppressed by His creation as men and women live in ways that reject the supremacy of God. In short, they are without excuse and deserve the wrath that is poured out on them. Humanity is not indicted because of a failure to find God, listen, but because of a failure to respond to God's initiative. Let me say that again. Humanity is not indicted because of a failure to find God. You know, arrogant people go, "Where's God? Oh, show me where He is." And I'm telling you, logic can beat that. Simple logic. You don't even need to have a PhD in creation science to unravel an evolutionist. Remember, we talked about morality. If an evolutionist comes to you and says, "You can't tell me this and you can't tell me that," they're trying to hold a moral standard. How do chemical reactions have moral standards? Moral standards are not something that you can grab. Character is not something. It can produce something that is tangible. But what is conscience? Have you seen a picture of your conscience? Did the doctors take an x-ray of your conscience? "We know what the problem is with you, sir. We need to x-ray your conscience. It needs to be replaced." No, that doesn't, so where are they getting morality from? If you're just a bunch of time and chemical reactions and things smashing together and lightning and bang and poof and all that stuff for years, and you were a fish and a, you know, I mean, I don't think fish have a lot of morality. Maybe they do. Dogs don't. That's why they're constantly telling you to get them spayed and neutered. Because they don't care. How would you know? I mean, the standard of morality is set by the Bible, which is the words of God. So if an evolutionist comes and says, you can't preach your message. Yes, I can. I have a creationist worldview, which means I have a conviction, which means I have an understanding of right and wrong based on the Bible, which means I have a platform to stand on. You cannot tell me what I can and cannot say because you have a nothing worldview. I came from nothing, I am nothing, and I'm going to nothing. Now let me tell you about how God made you and you're worth something. Does that make sense? Okay. We saw this last week, how far short Darwinism or evolution falls to explain the creation. It just falls so short. It's not even close. Verse 21 through 32. From here on out in this chapter, we see the results of humankind's rejection of the revelation of God and its disastrous consequences are now chronicled in some detail. The downward spiral of human sin begins with humanity's rejection of the knowledge of God in their possession. It continues as people act out their rejection by exchanging the divine for the profane. The pattern of willful rejection followed by rebellious action is repeated as men and women sink further into depravity. So in other words, I'll put it to you like this. The more you reject God, the dumber you will get. Why? Because truth is only found in light. You cannot, how can you know where you're going and have vision and see and reach out and walk a pattern through the path of this life in darkness? You can't. That's why in any area where there's mass confusion, entanglement, stealing, killing, and destroying, the enemy is operating and you may be even cooperating with him. Come on. Is it true? Okay. All right. And we know that Satan is the god of this world. We understand that. So verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Do you know people that are unthankful all the time and complaining? It's because they don't know their God. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Watch this now. And I read this last week, but this will make more sense to you. So professing to be wise, they became fools. I'm going to read verse 21 again. So let's really think about this as I read it. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. In the background of verse 21 and 22, this is the commentary that I've been reading out of, is the primal sin of Adam, who knew God but did not act accordingly. The result of his attempt to what? Elevate himself to a new level of wisdom independently of God doomed him to a lesser state. Do you see that? Although they knew God, they didn't acknowledge him as God, and professing to go for wisdom, they became stupid. Right? Is that what it says? I mean, that's the Sean International version, but you understand. They ended up in a lesser state. So Paul summarizes the history of Adam's race in these verses as the commission of the primal sin over and over again. Each time the result is the same. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. That has been repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated over and over and over. The same thing Satan did. Paul put it to the Corinthian church this way: lest you be deceived like Eve was. In what? Mind. Why? Because you're trying to reason with an enemy instead of walk by faith with your Creator. See, God said, don't eat of the tree. What'd the devil say? Oh, you'll be fine. Look how smart it's going to make you. And then claiming wisdom. Come on, does this sound like an atheistic current culture? Does it sound like political parties? Come on, think. You got to think about these things. We have a biblical worldview that we follow. And if the Creator... If there's not an acknowledgement from the creation, talking about the supreme part of his creation, which is us, to acknowledge God in the sense of who he is and what he is, and then receive him as Savior, and then submit to him and his word and follow that word out in our lives, then we will repeat what Adam and Eve did over and over again. It'll happen. You can't not do it. I know that's negative, negative. I know. I'd get in trouble for that in English class. But you, it is in your DNA without God to kill yourself. Come on. I'm not talking about suicide. I'm talking about decisions will be made that harvest death. Why? Because your flesh and godless thinking and no spirit of the resurrection within you, there's another spirit present in the earth that will lead you. There's not like, oh, I'm not going to pick God, but I'm not going to pick the devil either. Nope. No. By rejecting God, you have picked the devil. I'm going to say it again to the Facebook world. By rejecting God, you have picked the devil. Now, there are different levels of that, okay? There are different levels of that. There are different levels of walking with God and understanding. And, of course, there are different things there that could be threshed out deeper, but we're not going to go into them now. But there's only two options. You're picking one or you're picking the other. So there's that sin. The penalty for not responding with honor and praise to the revelation of God is to suffer a paralysis of one's God-given faculties. I'm going to say it again. The penalty for not responding with honor and praise to the revelation of God is to suffer the paralysis of one's God-given faculties. In other words, I'm claiming to be wise, but I'm actually a fool. So what happened? God's the one that made the faculties you're using. If you want the grease in your faculties to function correctly in the gears pumping, you have to have the grease of heaven. If you try and pump diesel into your gas engine, don't be surprised if you're sputtering to a stop. Why? Because the penalty for not responding with honor and praise to the revelation of God is to suffer a paralysis of one's God-given faculties. With a rejection of truth, thinking becomes futile. I love this. It makes me laugh. You say, why? Because long before I ever read this, the Lord told me, the more people reject me, Sean, the dumber they get. Thinking is futile without God. Why? He made your brain. He's the one that holds truth. Well, I'm going to figure this out in my own head. Without God? Now, you may come across and grab information and store it in your mind, but having information is not enough. Wisdom is not just information. It's application. It's again the argument of, I don't believe in air. But yet I'm using it. Well, I can't see it. It's arrogance. It's rebellion. It's sin. And people better repent. I don't know if God would talk to people that way. Yep. Why? Because it's not about hurting someone's feeling. It's about saving their soul. What lengths would you go to get the attention of your child who was dying or headed that way? And yet the scripture says, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more? I think he knows what he's doing. See, I know this. I know this is part of what I'm called to do in my own life. And what the church and the ministry here is called to do is to get back to that place of deep reverence for who God is. And be in awe of him. No more of this, no more flippant Christianity. You know what I mean? And now I'm not saying, you showed up midweek. You're doing pretty good. But where you're daily engaging with God, we're constantly moving toward that place of the mark, which is what? You're walking as Jesus walked with his Father. Now, you're never going to be above your master. But Jesus said this, it's enough for a servant to be as. It's enough for the servant to be as the master, right? It gives us a good faith challenge for this life. With a rejection of the light of revelation, the heart or the essence of the human being becomes darkened. Without God, the human race is doomed to grope in the dark. Without God, life is meaningless, a chasing after the wind, Ecclesiastes 2:26. So in other words, claiming to be wise, they became fools. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. In other words, Sean, they made foolishness their wisdom. Right? I have the wisdom of nothingness. I believe in the great cosmic explosion where there is a pool of water or something. We don't know. And it was just there somewhere at some time. Billions and billions of years ago. Oh, don't you sound so smart, fool. You've made foolishness your wisdom. And you better figure it out quick because you have just under 100 years before you're dead. You can't talk to that way to evolutionists. Why? God's right. And I'm with him. Well, they'll kill you. Well, then we're preaching it right because they tried to kill Paul too. I wonder sometimes if today's ministry, if ministers, if Jesus was around, they'd be all over him. There should not be death threats on your life, Jesus. You are not walking in grace. Sorry, I think this way. I do, because I think it's not my fault. Because I read the Bible. I'm not saying we need to just be mean, but listen, the culture police, the political police, they have turned the church into mice. Just little squeaky little, oh, you don't want me to say Jesus? My nature is to go, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! Why? Because how is me not saying Jesus going to help conviction come to them? If they're dictating to me how I live for my God, am I even living for my God? I'm not. I'm living for your approval of me, which is fear, and it's wrong. It's a sin on my part. It's not okay. And most people, most of the time, even though the culture, it would seem like the culture is all going one way and that atheist mind frame and those things, most people are not that unreasonable, and they do have brains in their heads. And they're logical. They'll go, yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense that the watch on your arm could just come out of thin air over millions of years. It just doesn't make sense. Uniformity, morality, all these things, they point to God. And the further you get away from God, the dumber and the more foolish. You make foolishness your wisdom. And if foolishness is your wisdom, the what said in his heart, there was no God. Well, God, you know, you could have used a different word there, one that was less offensive. All right. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Here we begin to see the results of rejecting God. Mankind has a predisposition to worship something, and so they turn to the creation rather than the creator. Idolatry serves to illustrate the depth to which men and women fall when they reject the revelation of the true God. They exchange the glory of the immortal God, which is seen in creation, for images of created things, whether of a human being or a beast. This is clearly illustrated today in the worship of the creation by the evolution worldview. We looked at it last week. Okay, now I'm going to skip down here, and I'm going to hit just a couple of things. This is a point I want to make right here. We don't worship the creation. We worship the God of creation. So we see this today, and it happened in all generations of men since sin. We see people rejecting the reality of God, and then they turn to worshiping the creation rather than the creator. Out of this distortion comes a Save the Planet movement, which, if you really get into the depth of what it is, the higher ups desire to murder people because they think people, they think the people are the problem. The thing is they are right in that the people are the problem, but they are wrong in their solutions because they refuse to worship God. Now listen to me. I want you to hear this. There is no end to the insanity when the source of your understanding and direction is Satan and your fallen flesh. When people worship the creation instead of God, humanity is destroyed at the expense of the creation. When people worship God, humanity is saved at the expense of the creation. Listen to me. That is God's design. God's design is not that the creation be saved and you damned. Now, he doesn't want the creation to be damned either in that sense. He didn't damn it in the first place. I'm not cussing, you understand. He didn't do that. He didn't do it. We did it. Okay? We were the ones that did it. He didn't do it. He's already got a plan to fix it all. But he will not fix it all and lose his kids. He'll save his kids first. And then fry everything else and remake it. Why? Because the value of the planet does not supersede you. See, this is evolution. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. They wonder why they have such a high suicide rate. Or a high depression rate. Because people don't understand their value. If you're made in the image and likeness of God, you're worth saving, not worth killing. Now wait till we get into abortion, I guess, huh? So he says this. This is the other thing that I see here. People who worship the creation will support and pass laws that save an owl or a mosquito or a frog. Then on the other hand, support and pass laws that kill babies. I don't apologize. Now, is there redemption for people that have had abortions? Absolutely. You are valuable. And I'll just say this. If you've had an abortion or somebody has on Facebook or whatever, God has your baby. And if you get born again, you'll see your child again. Okay, so that's a good word there. In every situation, the further people get away from God, you will find less and less care for humanity. In every situation, the further people get away from God, you will have less and less care for humanity every time. It's the course. If you read through, when you go home tonight, read Romans 1, 18 through 32, and don't stop. Just go all the way through it. You'll see it. Every time there's a rejection of God, there's the glorification of the wrong thing and the destruction of humanity. By themselves, to themselves, and then corporately, whether it was a dictator over a group of people who killed millions. Every time there's an evolutionary or a worship of something false first, and then total destruction of the people. Always. It follows the same pattern. Even distortions in Christian so-called groups, same thing. There's not an understanding of God. Because if I know Jesus and He's in my heart, I don't look to destroy you. I look to lay down my life and die so you can live. Come on. Why? Because I understand my redemption is not through saving myself. Right? And that's the thing we fight off daily. We have to die daily to those things. We don't treat the creation as God, but we should treat the creation like God would treat it. You like that? See, really, the go green, the whole save the planet, they shouldn't have that. The church should. The church should. We should always be advancing and looking for ways to do things better, but not in worship of the creation. Come on, you don't let your house just pile up with garbage. So why would you do that to the planet? Now, there are ways that we can deal with these things, but we also need to understand and operate in these things as far as what the environment and different things like that, with the principal understanding of what? We're getting a new one. And we don't have to worry about whether our kids will have a planet or not. I mean... God bless AOC, but she's off her rocker. And she's, listen, I'm 42 now. Al Gore said the same nonsense. How many years ago? How many years ago did we have 12 years left? At least 20, 30. He missed it. I'll bet you a pizza. AOC missed it too. Is that what you bet that guy, Terry? Jesus is coming back. You bet him a pizza, right? Oh, yeah, if Jesus didn't come back. Yeah. I love it. All right. So we should treat animals the way God would. Proverbs 12:10. A righteous man regards the life of his animal. But you know what a righteous man doesn't do? Treat his animals better than humans. Love your animal. I don't care. People say, are dogs and cats going to go to heaven? I have no idea. There are people that have gone to heaven that say they're going. There are people that have told me God told me their dog's going to heaven. I don't know. And honestly, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be in heaven with God. If your little Fifi is there, great. I won't kick him then either, okay? Sorry. Okay, that's just Proverbs. In the New Living Translation, it says this: the godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. Don't be cruel to your animals. Be kind to them. Take care of them. Treat them as God would. Now, I knew a situation with a lady one time who she had a bunch of cats or kittens or something that she really wanted to take. She was buying medicine for them, but she couldn't afford her own medicine. That's wrong. The kittens will die, but the humans shouldn't, at the expense of the animals. And nor am I going to turn into, there's a balance here, because in the conservative worldview and how they think, they get out of hand too. They get out of hand too. They want to go kill animals for no, just slaughter animals for whatever reason, with no structure, no boundaries, none of that. There's got to be a balance in this. God is not just going to, you know what I mean? He doesn't just flippantly start destroying everything. Everything is done precisely and in order with righteousness. Does that make sense? And God's not against hunting, so don't. It just gets out of control quick if you're not careful. Care for the planet. Proverbs 24:30. I went to the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. In other words, don't let all your stuff go to bunk. Take care of what you have. Take care of what you have. A Christian's house, according to the book, should not be the worst looking house on the block. It should not. It is a representation of you internally. Come on, just smile and nod with me a little bit. I was like, don't tell me how to mow my lawn. I'm not. Proverbs is. Your neighbor, you should not be the neighbor that everybody goes, yeah, they never do anything with their house, their yard, their this. You shouldn't be. If you're a believer, or don't tell them you're a Christian. You know, like sneak out on Sundays and sneak back. It's a bad witness, all right? New heavens and new earth. We understand this, 2 Peter 3:12. Looking for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. See, I believe in global warming. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. There it is. Verse 13, nevertheless, we according to the promise look for what? New heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We need to have the understanding we're going to get a new heavens and a new earth. We will. All right? All right, let's break into this. Verse 24 says this. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. So what did God do? Now, I want you to see this, because this is something that is repeated all through Scripture in the New Testament. It's a New Testament principle. God gave them up or handed them over. Now, watch this. This is a New Testament principle in judgment or wrath. This truth, through Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is repeated through the New Testament many times. In other words, when there is a rejection of relationship with God, there will be no benefits from the relationship. Listen, God in justice will give individuals over to what they desire. Time and time again through Scripture, we see this, that humanity is the one who must repent. So in other words, if you don't want relationship with God, in other words, you see who He is and you go, no, I don't want that. I want to be my own God. Then God doesn't come and go, I hate them. I'm going to hit them over and over again. You're thinking about wrath in the wrong way. What you should see it as, seed time and harvest. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also. So in other words, I'm talking about outside of relationship with God here, okay? I'm not talking about you and me who have relationship with God. I'm talking about outside the relationship with God. I see principles of God. I see there's truth about God, but no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Then God will go, I hand you over to what you want. So if you're not in hand with God, then you've been handed over to who? Only two options. If you're not in hand with God, if you're not, yes, God, I embrace you, I take you to me, I want to live the way you want me to live, I want to live in fellowship with you, in humility and submission to you, and grow in relationship with you, and I want to stick close to you. Come on, even if you're a believer and you mess up, but you stay close to God, what are you not handed over to? Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that mercy and grace. But if I look at it and disdain it, and God says, this is not my desire for you, but if you want to go that way, there you go. And what do you get? Harvest. You'll get harvest one way or another. It'll happen. Guaranteed. Guaranteed every single time. In verse, it talks about giving him up to uncleanness and things like that. The commentary here, well, let me say this, I guess, before I go to there. It says, God gave them up, and God gave them up. God did to them what they had done to him. Proverbs 3:34. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. That's the New Living Translation. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious. In other words, you want your wisdom to be foolishness. This is the harvest that comes with foolishness. Now, God will even warn you ahead of time like he did Adam and Eve. But yet, people will still choose it. Why? They're without excuse. They see. They know. Okay. He gives them over to uncleanness. Uncleanness is sexual impurity. And it means no fixed standard. No fixed standard. He will give you over to no fixed standard. Boy, this just exploded in me when I saw this today. No fixed standard. This is a powerful statement. Uncleanness is a person who leads, a person leads to a life of no fixed standard. God is the creator. And he understands what the creation was designed for and what it was not designed for. In other words, he has a fixed standard. And if you live in foolishness, you have no fixed standard. So where are you stopping? It's like people have said, you know, we don't need the law. We don't need the Ten Commandments at all. But those are not fences to keep you out of good things. They're barriers to keep you from jumping off a cliff. They're fixed standards. People will say love is love. You cannot have love without fixed standards. In other words, you cannot have love without truth. Love must have a fixed standard in order to be love. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. In the New Living Translation, it says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing up. Verse 26, we'll break into this and then we'll stop. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. Is homosexuality, is that love is love? It's shameful. See, you guys are even afraid to answer. It's shameful. Well, you can't shame me. I'm not. The Bible did. It's shameful. But I have a relative who's gay. It's shameful. Come on, this is where we get down into, do you love God more or do you love your family more? If you love God, I'm not telling you to reject your family. You can't be my family anymore because you're gay. No. Listen, we've had homosexuals in the church. They moved to another state, but we didn't hold back what we believe the Bible says. Why would we? Love has to have a standard. Love is not love. Love, you ever seen the signs? Come on, you've seen the gay pride parade and all that stuff? And they're so tolerant of everything that if you tell them they're wrong, they'll beat the snot out of you or yell at you or cuss you out, or because that's rational, intelligent debate over intellectual thinking, over scientific evidence, right? I mean, if it's just about who will win in a ring with gloves on, and that's how we're going to decide what our laws are, let's just get the toughest dude we know. But that's not what's been shown to us. What's been shown to us is we speak truth at the sacrifice of our own life. Okay? So love is not love is love is love is love is love. It's all the same. No, it's not the same. Not even scientifically is it the same. What if every person, everybody on the planet was homosexual? We'd be a dead society quick. It'd be quick. But that's too logical, right? Likewise, also men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. Let me help you with something. There's a penalty for the sin. And it will be received. And some people will not repent at the onset, but when the penalty sets in, guess who's going to be there to help redeem? Because I know where I was. Now, I wasn't in homosexual lifestyle, but homosexuality is not like the epitome of all sins. You realize that. It's collected inside of a whole bunch of others. Okay? It's not like God's going, well, this one, oh, that one really boils me. No, Jesus paid for it all. Not so we could continue to live in it any more than any other sin. What God declared good, namely that man and woman and woman would live together in relationship as one flesh, Genesis 2:18 through 25, is exchanged for relationships in which men engage in sexual relations with other men and women with other women. Therefore, these deeds are unnatural. They're unnatural. That is, this word is, I think it's contravene, but it means violate. Okay, so I don't even know how to pronounce it. Violate the created order. The phrase in verse 27, committed indecent acts, shows that what is condemned is the homosexual or lesbian act, not the temptation itself. The context also makes clear that the reason that homosexuality is raised here is not because it is more perverse than any other types of sexual sin. Rather, Paul uses it to show how sin perverts the created order of male and female. Now, what does that also sound like? Transgenderism? For women to change the natural use shows that lesbianism is a choice, not a result of natural birth. It also shows lesbianism is unnatural against nature. Just like the woman, for men to leave the natural use of the woman shows a choice, not a result of natural birth. Lust is consistently used for homosexuality and lesbianism. Lust is not a sickness, but a sin. Come on. Okay? Homosexuality and lesbianism are sin. Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities were all destroyed because homosexuality and lesbianism. Today, that area is known as the Dead Sea. It's gone, buddy. Nothing grows there. All right? So next week, we're going to get into LGBTQ, which is an acronym for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer or questioning. And I think there's more now, like letters, but I didn't look them all up. These terms are used to describe a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. And next week, we'll talk about homosexuality or bisexuals. But I just thought we'd get through this first part today. And listen, with that, guys, I'm going to give you information. I'm going to give you the scripture first and then just some limited scientific, natural uniformity of nature, you know, morality, things like that, arguments in from the science world, and give you some places to look and study for yourself. But think redemptively in these things. So in other words, guys, I'll just tell you, I know Terry and I and Susan and Heidi, we went to a meeting one time years ago, and there's a lady, and I think I still have her information, I'm not sure, but she was in the lesbian world for years. She was high up and married to another woman, and every year at her birthday or Christmas, her mom would send her a Bible. Send her a Bible, send her a Bible. You can look up the amount of transgenders and homosexuals that are getting born again. Listen, homosexuals are getting born again and starting their own parades. They're having their own parades. Instead of gay pride parades, they're we've been made free parades by Christ. I read an article today, I read it the other day, but I looked over it again today, where the Love is Love movement and the homosexual movement showed a picture of two women that are hugging. And it's for a pro-lesbian thing. And the two women that are pictured that they're using are both, they're separated now, and both are born-again Christians. Don't tell me. And Paul said it. He said, he talked about homosexuality. He said to the Corinthian church, he said, which you once were before Christ came into your life. So in other words, there's no sin, no perversion that is beyond the power of the resurrection to deliver. We have a message of redemption. Love, acceptance, forgiveness. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word and your goodness. We know you're going to do great things in delivering. We receive your truths, and we purpose to walk redemptively in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.